This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Paco, run with Bitcoin, kindness of Bitcoiners around the world.
Traffic jams in India are a common phenomenon and are often characterized by congestion, noise, and chaotic scenes on the roads. On average, commuters in major Indian cities like Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore, Chennai, and Kolkata may spend anywhere from 1 to 3 hours or even more per day in traffic, especially during peak commuting hours. Is this your motivation to explore the world on foot?
Yes, one way or the another. I love running and it is faster than the traffic.
My run with Bitcoin stickers can be found in at least 21 different countries.
True story. Yes.
The Himalayan mountains are a majestic and awe-inspiring natural wonder spanning several countries including India, Nepal, Bhutan, China and Pakistan. The Himalayas are home to some of the world's highest peaks, including Mount Everest, the tallest mountain on Earth, standing at 8,848 meters above sea level. Have you ever climbed the Himalayas?
Yes.
Indian food is often associated with spiciness and heat due to the prominent use of spices in many dishes. Spices like chili powder, black pepper, green chilies, and various spice blends such as garam masala are commonly used to add flavor and heat to the dishes. Was it hard not to have the spiciness in the dishes you had around the globe?
Yes.
Is it true that you survived a major bus accident in Zimbabwe?
Yes.
Whiskey is a distilled alcoholic beverage made from fermented grain mash. It is typically aged in wooden barrels, which can impart unique flavors and characteristics to the final product. Is the Bitcoin whiskey you had in El Salvador your favorite one?
No.
Is it true that from all 21 countries you visited in 2023, Haiti was the only one where you failed to use Bitcoin?
Yes.
Do you prefer a cup of chai over a cup of lassi?
Yes.
Have you already started writing the book Outside the Echo Chamber?
No.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 100 of Connect the World. It's amazing, Steph, right?
Yeah. I was cheering when I was on mute.
Crazy. Doesn't matter. And of course, this show is made possible by BL3P, our friends from, it's the European Bitcoin Exchange in Amsterdam. So thank you guys for making this possible. And in honor of this episode 100, of course, we have a guest later on more, but we also have a new sponsor, Steph. We talked to the founder of Bringin, because Bringin is the new sponsor. Prashant is the founder.
Episode 77 for the ones who want to check that episode out, yes.
Yes, indeed, because it's interesting to talk about a little bit about them. In short, it's a tool that allows you to spend Bitcoin instantly and safely from any wallet. And when you sign up, they provide you with an IBAN number, IBAN. And that means the on-ramp and off-ramp is a lot easier. So you can put your fiat money in there, change it to sats and change it back and using the off-ramp to have it on your own bank account. So that's easy. And from a Bitcoin to euros. So seamlessly, I think that's an interesting thought that if the on-ramp and off-ramp is easier, a lot of people would, more people would be using it. So check it out, episode 77, or go to their website, bringing.xyz, and they have there also a video, a demo. And it's interesting to see how it works. So again, thank you guys for helping us out with our mission. And if you also want to help out, then follow us on Twitter and subscribe at our YouTube channel. Or if you have any questions, then go to our Telegram group and you can ask us anything. And of course, you can always donate.
Conecta el mundo.
Yes, Paco, welcome to the show, man.
Paco.
celebrating the 100th episode with us, man. How's that?
From India.
You're on mute, by the way.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
So happy 100th episode with happy 50K.
Thank you.
That's right.
We're back.
we're never talking numbers, Stan, right? But it is great. I mean, 150, it's half, right? Yeah, so 100K would be possible in the future.
It's good for the autistic people. So it's good for me. Hey, but Paco, man, we will talk about the journey you did, obviously. When I had to come up with those yes and no questions, it was really fun because I really digged a bit into your history, because you documented everything on YouTube, basically. Where to start, man? I mean, I saw you survived a major bus accident in Zimbabwe, and you said yes. Can you tell us the listeners and viewers of this show a bit about what happened there?
This was me crossing in Africa. I was going from Mozambique to Zimbabwe, and I had reached late in the evening to the border stop. So it was like 6:37 p.m. So the immigration officer was like, why don't you just stay here for the night? And next morning, there's a bus coming, you can hop on. The buses in Africa are pretty much loaded. So these are these Toyota coaster buses, the 30-seater buses. But they put a lot of stuff in the back. So we were like about 10 passengers. And the back of the bus was loaded with like a lot of stuff. And it was like gravel road. And the guy was speeding and he lost control. The bus skidded, it flipped like 1, 2, 3 times. And it was a national park. So there were nobody to help us or rescue us, but everybody helped each other and got ourselves out, and everybody survived. And no animals attacked
us. Crazy, man. Because the strange thing is, you didn't drove like through a corner or something, right? It was just straight. But on the video, it was a gravel indeed, but it wasn't, it looked like it was pretty flat, right? So I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, like the back of the bus skidded from behind. As soon as he went to press the brake, the back skids. And the back skidded, and then he tried to control that stuff. And it just went chaos. Like, I was really grateful, like, I survived. And I really reached my stop, I guess. Back then the rescue came, people came down. I remember eating rats on the way, because that was the food that was being offered. So they eat rats.
Man. Crazy.
And no one was really injured, right? I mean,
no, nobody was injured. I mean, they started praising the Lord. There were like 6-7 ladies in there, and they were just like praising the Lord, and they were like, thank you, Jesus, for saving our life.
Yeah, crazy, man. And you also thought, because you were planning to step to the front of the bus, right? To document or to film the road or something.
Exactly.
Just before the accident happened, right?
Yes, I was going to sit in the front of the bus, but the conductor in the bus was like, no, you got to sit behind. And I'm like grateful, because that's the entire bus. That side was totally destroyed, you know.
Yeah, I saw it,
So I'm just like grateful. Incredible. That, like, I just survived.
Yeah. Well, if you travel that much, then you experience a lot of things. So this is, but it didn't stop you, right?
No.
visiting other countries.
You reach Zimbabwe, and now I've entered Zimbabwe just to figure out that they're suffering with hyperinflation. And you just you count your blessings, you know, and you're just grateful. Like, you made it, we hosted like a couple of Bitcoin meetups there just to meet the community. It was interesting, but like really thankful. Like, I thank Satoshi for keeping me alive, because the journey.
Damn it. And had you any, Yeah, like any other accidents or something while traveling through all those countries? Because, yeah, I mean, I can imagine, the traffic in the whole Africa isn't like we or even you in India are used to, right?
I mean, like, as an Indian, yes, you're used to pretty much everything, how they move, because we just make things work. I escaped an accident in Central African Republic. I missed my bus. And luckily, I did not get on that bus because the bus fell down the cliff and all the passengers died. Damn. And the next day when I was going and they were telling me about this bus story, and I was just like, oh, thank God, I survived. In Johannesburg, I got mugged in broad daylight. So I was walking in the downtown area and I was with like three other people. And these four people just jumped from behind and then choked me. And I was just like, hey, you can't do anything. There's no more oxygen. And you fall down. But yeah.
And did it take also any gear or something? Because of course, if you're filming, then
they took my. Luckily, they left my GoPro, but they took my phone and they took my cash away. So my camera was left down there. So I was like, I just came back. I did a tweet, and the community helped me. I got the community helped me get a new phone in like 3 hours. I bought using Bitrefill voucher I bought, and I went to the store and bought myself a phone. So yeah. Thanks for the community.
Hey, I wanted to ask, because Steph put that question in there, in you visited Haiti also?
Yes.
And you couldn't use their your sets. Why?
Man, that country is suffering from double debt. That country, only Jesus can save Haiti. There's nobody that can save Haiti. They're just paying so many debts to the French and to the Americans so far. Like, they're still paying from 1800s. They're the first country to get independence. The first country. And now they're still paying debts. They have been tormented with all the floods. Not the floods, the tsunamis, the earthquakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the trash garbage is filled up to your face height in the downtown. The gangs have taken over. And they speak French and Creole. And I don't speak either of those languages. So for me, the communication was a problem. But even on hunting, like, there was a Twitter profile called Bitcoin Zoe, Bitcoin underscore XOE, and he said he's from IT. But the guy did not reply to me while he knew that I'm coming there. So there was pretty much nobody that I could come in and encounter with, like, that I could use. And I heard gunshots in the night outside my hostel. So I just thought of pretty much escaping from there. And I just left that country in 4 days.
Yeah, I can imagine.
What a story.
I can imagine. Yeah, but it's difficult, right? Because if you don't speak the same language, I mean, orange-speaking people who speak the same language is hard. But if you don't speak the same language, I mean, it's not doable, right?
No.
Yep. It's the biggest challenge. In Africa, they have English in like 8 to 10 countries, and French in the another 14 countries. So I was pretty much traveling in the English-speaking countries only, where I could add value.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah, and if you know a local, then also it is easier, of course, a local who understands Bitcoin, and you can do it together or something. But this is, this sounds crazy. It's very, very difficult. Because do you also travel sometimes with somebody who translates? Or is it just like you said now, well, the English-speaking countries and
I've gotten really lucky in terms of Bitcoiners. I have found Bitcoiners in Cameroon. It's a French-speaking country, but I found English-speaking Bitcoiners. So with them, it is easy for translation. Same thing happened to me in Congo, for that matter, that I found somebody. Central African Republic, I was able to talk to people about Bitcoin, show them how Wallet of Satoshi works. Wallet of Satoshi wasn't available on their Play Store. But like when the person speaks English, so yes, there are people who help me in the translation. I speak Spanish, hence I did a bunch of Spanish Latin American countries. So I could add value there. I could really talk to the local
people. There are a lot of Spanish speaking.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you climbed the Himalayas? Did you also climb the Mount Everest
Yes, the Mount Everest I did. I did the base camp one that was 5,400 or 5,500 meters. And
crazy. That's high also.
Yeah, it is like... It's good, like you just do not need gear and all. You can do it at your own pace. Every 3 to 5 kilometers, there is like a small town, a small village, like, you know, 1,500 people living there, and you can just stay there for the night. But it was worth the walk. Like, it it was nice to see. Just standing on the foothills, or not even the foothills, but the big, mighty Mount Everest. It is, it costs, if you want to climb that, it's going to cost you somewhere around $80,000.
Really?
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know
that. What the hell? And so many people are doing it. I mean, what?
it's an experience, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're willing to pay for the guide, right? Because you don't go alone.
You take like people with you. It's a 2-month process. And you take like another somebody carrying your tent, somebody carrying your food, somebody this.
Crazy. Well, yeah. 80,000, man. Oh, I didn't think of that because. Well, yeah, I'm not a real climber, so I'm always like, I really love the mountains. I just came home from a skiing trip to Austria, and it was nice. But I was thinking when I was in Austria, I think, well, the Mount Everest, it's because I was now around 2,000, 2,500 meters, right? And Mount Everest, it's a little less than 9,000. I was like, well, man, it's like triple quadruple as high as where I'm at now. And I was like, never in my life that I'm going to climb that mountain, right? I mean, come on. But now I'm hearing it's 80,000. Well, no fucking way, man.
Those guides are called Sherpas, right? From Nepal.
Yes.
Yeah. And they know the mountain, of course.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah. I will leave that to other people, man. Hey, Paco, we prepared a lot of questions about, we already talked a bit about mm-hmm. your trip, your journey, but we prepared a lot of questions about the Run with Bitcoin journey you had, and we would really love to ask you all the questions, but yeah, it really has to be in the 21 minutes, man. So if you're ready, we would really love to enter that part.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's. The 21 minutes is brought to you by Bringin, the app to reliably sell and spend Bitcoin from any wallet. Yeah, just like you said, Run with Bitcoin. You run also a YouTube channel where you post your vlogs and, about all your travels around the world. I also saw some educational content. Everything is in the end educational, of course, because we didn't go there and you did. It's your personal journey to travel to 40 countries in 400 days only to use Bitcoin. What inspired you at first to embark on this journey, and how did this idea came about for you?
I would really thank Bitcoin family for making this journey possible. So I really thank everybody. This journey was started, it was in August 2021, the second wave of coronavirus had just got done. I was in the market looking for a job, and I reached out to my friend who was a marketing manager for a crypto exchange in India. So India has like about 5 to 7 crypto exchanges. So I reached out to my friend and I was looking for a job, and he's like, he'll get me a job. He didn't get me any job. But one night, it was August 25th, it was a full moon night. He gave me a call saying that, Paco, do you want to travel the world? And I was like, yeah, I want to travel the world. Like, but you have to travel using Bitcoin. And I'm like, but what is Bitcoin? He's like, read this book called the Bitcoin Standard and let's start the journey. This is the best community in the world. And I'm like, how will this thing work? He was like, the community will crowdfund you. You're doing it for Bitcoin because you're trying to see whether Bitcoin really is money. And I was like, fair enough, let's try this. And I read the book and I entered the rabbit hole and there was no coming out. I have been a hippie from 2015. I've been traveling around a lot. So traveling was already a part of my lifestyle. So I was just able to add value to the Bitcoin ecosystem. So thanks to the Bitcoin Standard and my friend Purin, I entered the rabbit hole.
Cool. But how did the Bitcoin Standard influence your decision to start this journey? I mean, what are the key takeaways that you did apply?
The greatest thing was finally teaching me the words called low time preference. I am an Indian and we all have gold. I have gold. My father has gold. The lady cleaning at the house has gold. Everybody has gold. And we appreciate what gold does. And gold grows in value and people try to save their wealth in gold. And just to learn that in 1971, somebody just switched it off. My currency went depreciating. So for me, the greatest learning was the low time preference, which is like saving for the future. As a gold bug, we all do that. And the second thing was proof of work, for that matter. Like, yes, if you work, then only you get rewarded. There are no free lunches. because the free lunches were being distributed in the United States of America, and now I have to work hard. Like my when India got independence, $1 was 1 rupee, 1 rupee was 1 pound. Everything was 1:1. But now we are at 84. That means I have to work 84 times harder for me to achieve my dream. So it really taught me these basic things. And I was like, hey, at least I can share with the humanity, the crypto people, that how Bitcoin is a hedge against inflation.
But traveling by food, I mean, there's no better way to have to live to the low time frame for a standard, right?
I took buses, I took flights. I did all of that. I did all of that. This is how I traveled across. But in the mornings, I used to go for my morning runs, and some Bitcoiners used to join me along, and some used to not join me along.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's up to them. And what are some of the countries you visited, and why those particular countries? How did you came up with the plan to visit those particular countries?
When I started, I was really scared. So my planning was like, I'll do 10 days on an average, each country, and I'll do 40 countries. So that will be 400 days. So I just did a random maths, and I started traveling. And I started traveling, and then some third coronavirus came, so flights were all again shut down. So as coronavirus was relaxing, the countries were relaxing, and then I just kept following it. So Thailand opened up, Cambodia, Singapore, Sri Lanka, as the countries were opening. And then I reached Africa, and the first day in Africa was like an eye-opener for me. Kenya, that was. And that's where the things changed. Mm-hmm. And slowly I was like, Africa needs Bitcoin. And I traveled around 18 African countries. Like, we just hear the negative things about Africa, but when you go down there on the reality, you start to see like how Bitcoin can really help Africans. So yeah, and then slowly and gradually the country started unfolding, and finally I ended off with Latin American countries because I speak Spanish.
Yeah, cool. Were you a traveler before, like before this journey? Were you traveling a lot? I mean, was it something you got used to?
Yeah, so in 2015, I quit my job. I had a good job. I was earning about like $2,000 something. And I quit that job. And I took a sabbatical for 4 years. I went out traveling 4 years. I have hitchhiked from USA to Argentina. Ushuaia, the end of.
So amazing.
So I used to do all of this stuff back then. I used to be like a hippie working on the streets, trying to make ends meet, hustling the way through. So I really appreciate the community aspect that was there, the hippie community, you know, everybody takes care of themselves, go with the flow.
And were there some similarities you saw then with the Bitcoin community now?
Hippies are Bitcoiners. They do not know yet.
Oh, yeah.
And Bitcoiners are hippies with money.
They have
the freedom of money, and the freedom of money gives you freedom of time. That's it. Yeah. You are hippies, basically.
Yeah, cool, man. And you say that the world is a kind place and you want to show this to everyone. Can you share a particular memorable experience of human kindness you encountered during one of your travels? Well, hippie says it a bit already, of course, but maybe you can elaborate on it.
I would say yes, because every time they talk about Bitcoin as a toxic maximalist, and this is not a very positive word. And I wanted to share with the people that Bitcoiners are kind. They are just looking for proof of work. So if you work, Bitcoiners are out there for you. I was coming now from South Africa to India. I had an 18-hour halt at the airport. I did not have the visa. I did not have, the lounge was not there. So there was a Bitcoiner on the flight. His name is, he's Gridless, Eric. He saw me and he's like, wait, I'll help you out. He sorted me out. He took me to his house, fed me food, slept, got me breakfast in the morning, brought me to the airport. That's a kindness. This is where you just see like how I was supposed to stay 18 hours at an airport in Kenya. There was nothing to do. And so this is the proof of work that speaks for you. If you're not working, then you're listening to people. But if you're working, then you're just listening to yourself and you're contributing. You're creating and consuming. You're not just consuming the free lunches. You're creating, you're contributing to the betterment of this world. So this, if you keep doing this, you will keep meeting rewards and kind people.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Yeah. Hey, and well, you used Bitcoin at all those places. Well, that's the plan, of course. How did you describe the process of converting your fiat to Bitcoin and preparing for the trip to only use Bitcoin?
How did I start off? This was by selling my furniture. I sold my furniture. I got $200. I went to Binance and I went there and I bought myself Bitcoin. And that was the first one. And from there onwards, because I did not have money back then when I started, I hosted the first Bitcoin meetup in Bengaluru. Somebody donated me $200 and somebody gave me $1,000. And then the journey just went on going, and it's purely crowdfunded. I can say this something clearly. Anything, if you have an idea, please start, because the road will keep opening for you. I had no idea I would be able to do this, but the community made it possible. So just start with an idea and start working towards it. It doesn't matter if you have those big names donating you. None of the big Bitcoiners donated to me. No big names. These are all these humble humans who gave that $1, $10, $20 and made it possible. That means we all are equal. It doesn't matter if you have 1,000 coins. It doesn't matter if you have 0.001. We all are equal.
Yeah, cool. And did you also had some work in between then? Because, or did you live completely on all the donations? Was it even possible?
It was completely on donations for that matter, because I was on the move. I hosted about 125 Bitcoin meetups in 40 countries, which was, I used to invite all the crypto people. I used to like just come and listen to the importance of hard money. So everything was crowdfunded. There was a company called Bitrefill. We all know them. I love them. Work.
Yeah.
They were supporting me throughout. There were a couple of months of Paxful supporting me. But they were hardcore Bitcoin donors. So that's how it worked. I was just busy with my videos, meeting people and seeing that I survive and I'm alive to finish the journey to say that, yes, Bitcoin is money in 40 countries.
Cool. And what challenges have you faced while trying to use Bitcoin exclusively across different countries? And how did you overcome them? You already told us a bit about Haiti, but what other challenges have you faced?
I mean, there is lack of information in regional language. Like, there is such a lack. Like, whenever people say people are using Bitcoin, they're not using Bitcoin, they're using USDT. That was the most important thing that I learned, that people want USDT. They don't care about your Bitcoin. The Bitcoiners you meet, the hardcores, there are these hodlers who don't want to spend their Bitcoin. Met them. And I respect them. I value them. And then there are the Bitcoiners who are like happy with the lightning, sharing the sats, let the sats flow, like the Kaiser Fund. But they are very happy about it. But the majority of the people are like, there's lack of information. The biggest challenge was like, most, I am in the third bull run or the fourth bull run in the ecosystem, and people have been scammed. They have lost all their money. So they're really scared to trade. But humans are still skeptical and happy to receive $5 to $10 or $15 or $20 of Bitcoin for exchange for their services. So the fear of the money they have lost because of the scams, because Bitcoin is just used as a synonym to every other coin. So anytime any shit coin comes and then that goes down, Bitcoin name goes down. So that was the biggest challenge, to just talk to people about, hey, listen, but Bitcoin is hard. Bitcoin is not trying to be Web.
Yeah. And can you share also some insights on how the Bitcoin communities where you travel to supported you through your travels? Because there are many Bitcoin communities, of course, also circular communities. How did they support you? Maybe for food or to sleep there, or
there are great. So there are these groups that they meet in different countries. Basically, there are mostly, I would say, like in Bangkok, there is Satoshi Square every Monday. So there are these groups that meet around for that matter. There's a crypto group in Qatar. There are crypto groups in Kenya. There were not exclusive Bitcoin groups. I met only few exclusive Bitcoin groups were in Singapore, Indonesia, Bali's full crypto. But those Bitcoiners that I met are like spread out all over the world. And there are these great circular economies that have happened. So if 2017 was the time for Lightning getting launched and ICO run, 2021 was the time of the circular economy. From El Salvador, that is the Bitcoin beach, they were inspired, Guatemala, Bitcoin Lake. There are four communities there. Then you go down to Costa Rica, you have Bitcoin Jungle. Then you go all the way down to Brazil. There is Jericoacoara, Praia, Brazil. That's in the north. That's a circular economy. They give fruits for 10 sats. You have the community in Minijeras in the mountains, Rolante in the south. There is Peru. There are 14 to 15 circular economies down there. Bitcoin Ekasi started. Cowries in Ghana started. Uganda started. Kenya started. Philippines started. So these are circular economies that are telling us, like, yes, Bitcoin is a medium of exchange, which was never the use case, never the way it was sold for, never. Thanks to Lightning, this is possible. So yeah, these are some of the communities that have really helped me. They've given me food, shelter, connections, clothing. They have just taken care of me. So this just means that humans are kind. We are just forgetting the layer zero of humans, that is the kindness.
Yeah. And how did you face the groups that were not Bitcoin only, the crypto groups? I mean, I can imagine that there were a lot of people just seeking for getting rich pretty quickly, and that is not the ethos of Bitcoin, obviously. But it, was it difficult for you to communicate with groups like that? I mean, was it even possible to orange pill them more, or how did that go?
I guess the crypto people are one step closer than a normie. The crypto people at least understand this entire ecosystem and they've seen what all shit exists in this world. So to talk to them about what hard money is, my entire speech used to end up by saying, I do not care if you do crypto or you do NFTs or you do trading. I don't care because this is the bush, man for a man. But whatever money you make, at least start seeing your net worth in Bitcoin terms. If yesterday you were 0.1, tomorrow should be 0.2. Because every man has to provide for themselves. Brother, in Africa, an average man's salary is $6,200 per month. If tomorrow XRP guy comes and tells you, hey, I give you $500, can you shill this? He will definitely shill that because that's like a lot of money.
Yeah.
So there are these things that are happening all around the world. So I just do not despise them. I do not despise any crypto. It's the yin-yang effect. I do not despise anyone. I just do not hate on anyone. I just say like, yeah, sure, whatever you do is good. Bitcoin is a hard money. If there is a better alternative, please do tell me. I have 24 hours in my life. I feel these 24 hours are worth Bitcoin time for me. I can dedicate 24 hours to Bitcoin rather than any other coin, at least for me.
Yeah.
As for you, you are smart enough. You run a family. You know what's good.
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah. And what has been the most surprising thing you've learned about Bitcoin's practically... for everyday transactions during your travels? I mean, I can imagine how many on-chain did you do on-chain transactions too, or were it completely on Lightning?
I was really happy. I was traveling when the fees was 1 to 2 sats per byte. Plenty of on-chain transactions, but I feel really sad now looking at it. Those UTXO sets cannot be used in the future if the fees go high. So I did not know this. Like, I feel like a fool, but I did a lot of transactions of 2,000 sats, 5,000 stacks on chain. Lightning I used exclusively in a lot of these Bitcoin communities. That's how these communities have started. People are happy to use Lightning. There's a community in Curaçao also. This guy, he's the founder. His name is Peter Kroll. He was the founder of the paper wallet. Yeah. So pretty cool. Like, I got to see how he's orange pilling the country. It's a country on its own. Lightning is there. I have a lot of questions on Lightning. I do not know. I am not a techie. I do not know what happens, but I've been hearing a lot of things that Liquid might be scalable, but then the same thing I heard a year ago that Ordinals might be scalable. So I'm new. I'm a 2021 Bitcoiner. I believe in the hard money aspect. Lightning has made my life easy. Everybody's going to use Lightning. And I believe now developers can build on Lightning too.
Yeah, but I think because you just said that when the fees were high, so when people were minting images on the blockchain, then I think your journey wasn't even possible if that turns out to be at the same period when you were traveling, right? So you got a bit lucky too.
Yeah,
because I think if you do the same journey now, there will be some time where you just get into trouble, right?
Like, think about it. Like, there were many people who used to tell me, like, we have Binance. Can you put it on my Binance? You do not teach person self-custody when the person is ready for with Binance. Because it's a game of trust right now. People have been scammed. So I'm really grateful it was 1 to 2 sats. I am done. In this process, I learned Moon Wallet is not a Lightning wallet, which was a very bad learning. One whole community collapsed because of that. There was a community that was using Moon Wallet exclusively in San Marcos in Guatemala. because of the high fee structure, the entire, because people cannot use their sats. So yeah, that happened. Is it? Can you hear me?
Yeah. And I wanted to talk a little bit about one of your latest videos you recorded in Brazil also, because you visit there with a guy who's called Fernando. You visit a family living without electricity. What did you learn about their way of life, and how is your experience introducing Bitcoin to people who are cut off from electricity or can't use a proper internet connection, for example?
Wow, that was one of my beautiful experiences. So, you know, hippies, right? For all hippies. They were just...
Yeah, I saw it. It was...
Yeah. Full hippie vibe, you know? And I was just seeing like how they're going to use it, because hippies don't care. They go with the flow. I mean, hippies just work what is necessary. They're just like the miners work 24 hours. Hippies don't work 24 hours. They just work 3 hours. So these hippies were just like happy to receive this thing and see this as one more mode of payment. They did not see this as a store of value. They were just happy to see this as another receiving of mode of payment. And this is giving something great. It was there itself, I think. So it happened to me that now we are equal. This is the same thing I saw in Peru, that the people who do not have access to banks, you're banking the unbanked practically. Be your own bank. Mm-hmm. And I saw this in an active. Like right now, that Brazilian hippie family can connect to anyone in the world and can send their artisans to anyone. So finally, you're equal. We got an equal opportunity for every human in this world. This world plays this game of color. In this, there is no more color. There's no religion. There is no caste, no creed. It's just Bitcoin. And you're equal, which requires no permission. And you're free. You have not... Now, finally, there is no freedom of speech. There is no freedom of movement because of passports and visas. But now you have freedom of money. This is huge. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. That's perfect. I was thinking, Paco, because something that I want, I think I would concern is managing your security and privacy while using Bitcoin and documenting your journey online. And especially maybe, for instance, when you're running with a shirt with a big Bitcoin logo on it. what precautions did you take? I mean, you can't tell everything, obviously, because maybe you will get another trip planning in the near future. But what are the main precautions you took?
Brother, I'm just going to tell you, if I knew what Bitcoin was, I wouldn't have done all of this. I'm just giving it out clearly. I did not go deep in the rabbit hole when I started. I started figuring it out slowly and gradually. And then I understood what privacy means. For my safety reasons, I used to use just non-custodial wallets. To tell you, I was a pretty much hot wallet guy all throughout. Now I'm no more a hot wallet guy. But yeah, this was my life. So have self-custody. Please do not trust FTX. Vault were a great example. And screw you, Sajid. Yep.
Crazy, right? Yeah. I think we heard TikTok. I'm going to hit up with one more question about the Lightning Network. How do you see the Lightning Network from the knowledge that you have evolving to further support global travelers like yourself in the future?
Lightning Network challenges Visa and MasterCard. So it's going to be the greatest fight right now. But is Lightning Network scalable to 50 million transactions?
Yeah. Okay. That could be a question for a next guest. Eh?
maybe we should record it.
Thanks for all these questions. We have a lot more questions, but if you do another trip, then we'll just call you again.
Yes, definitely.
Let's continue.
Connect or...
We have one question left for you, Paco. And the funny thing is, you may choose yourself, because we prepared three questions. One is from Peter Kroll. You already mentioned him a few minutes ago. He's from the Bitcoin Reef in Curaçao. Brandon Green, he's from BTC Inc., organizing all the great Bitcoin events. And Andre Lora, and he's from Bitcoin Atlantis in Madeira. So it's difficult, right? But you only may choose one, man.
Oh my god. Okay. Let's go. You choose one, man. Why are you pushing it on me? You go for it. Which one do you wanna go? I'm ready for the answers.
You may only choose one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So since we talked about Peter Kroll, let's go Peter Kroll.
Peter Kroll. Okay. Here he comes.
Hi, I'm Peter Kroll from Bitcoin Reef Curacao. And my question is, should we teach people Lightning first or should we teach them on-chain first?
Oh, that's a good one for you because you made that journey, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lightning is the best way forward because Lightning is a feeling. You're finally giving something valuable to a person that is valuable to you. You value that person. And hence, you're giving the most valuable thing in the world called Bitcoin. And when you give something, it's a sowing a seed. It doesn't matter. It's custodial, non-custodial. It doesn't matter. But that person can go in the night sleeping with that 2,000 sats in his pocket and feel like, hey, I have some Bitcoin. That's like putting fuel to the fire. And if the fire burns, that means the person has done his research. And once he's done his research, and then we can do hand-holding and take him forward to self-custody. So Lightning's any day forward. On-chain, eventually you will get down the hole, but Lightning, just share some sats, share some love. Let people get that feeling.
Cool. So Lightning first, that's the answer.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Connect the world.
Yeah, Paco, thanks for the talk, man. Really interesting.
Yeah, thanks again.
Interesting story you have. So I really, really love to see all the music of all the videos you've uploaded. But the people, where can people follow you?
Wow, man! Thank you so much for having me. This was such a fun episode. You guys are really fun. I am really happy to be part of this, and this is like the happy 100. Whoop!
People can. That's nice.
People can follow me on YouTube. It's called Paco de la India. That means Paco from India. I just do simple vlogs. I am a basic vlogger. I just share with people what people are seeing straight up. And on Twitter, awesome. It's called Run with Bitcoin. And inshallah, by the year end, my book should be out called The Outside the Echo Chamber. But it's going to be a chill travel story. It's not going to be like the world is ending. It's just going to be about how there are fun people, how you can make memories out there by stacking sats. You know, just be stay cool. Humble. Yeah. Life is there.
Cool.
Nice. Well, thanks again, Paco, and keep it going with your vlogs and with everything you're doing in your travels. Great to have you on the show again.
Thank you so much. But I have a question for the next person, and the next person's question is like, this question has been bothering me because I've traveled a lot around, and my question is, how do you teach low time preference to people?
That's a great one.
That's a nice one. We're gonna ask that.
Yeah, because orange pilling is not just like you give somebody a Adderall and the person is happy. You go down the rabbit hole with the person, right? Like, and how do you teach that person? Because most of the circular economies here are converting their Bitcoin to cash immediately because of the need. So how do you teach
that? Yeah, well, we are going to cut it, right? We will use it for
thanks
one of
again.
Our next guests.
Indeed.
Conecta el mundo.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks for everyone helping to connect the world with us together. If you like our content, then please support us in our mission and visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate. And subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete a mission, so connect the world and keep those nodes running, sats flowing, rings burning, and travel around the world to visit all those communities out there. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Adios, Paco.
See ya.
Adios. Ciao.